I'm Tom Davis, and with us is Senator Langford. There's a lot going on in Washington, D.C. with the talk of impeachment. It seems there's a lot of hearsay going on. What about fact? Have you seen any kind of fact or anything that would back up some of these allegations that we're hearing about?
I think the facts that are that we have so far don't actually point to something that is impeachable. There are individuals that say, you know what, if you talk to any foreign leader about anything related to anyone, then that's suddenly an impeachable offense. Well, that's going to include just about every president ever. At this point, obviously, there will be dialogue between every president and other world leaders about how is their campaign going, what's happening, what's going on. Here's the new news that just came out on it that we're continuing to be able to get information on. The New York Times has reported that this whistleblower was in contact with Adam Schiff's team and maybe with the congressman himself, even before the inspector general report was even notified. So for a month and a half or so, the Democratic leader of the Intelligence Committee and his staff have been engaged with this person as a whistleblower. We don't know how much coaching. We don't know how much prep. We don't know how much of the whistleblower report was actually written by the Democratic members of their committee. We just know that they kept it secret. And then now that it's suddenly leaking out that this was coordinated or at least was cooperated with the Democratic leadership of the House Intelligence Committee. Now, again, what the White House put out immediately was the transcript of this phone call. They put out the information around it. They've made available individuals. We had one of the individuals that was part of the Ukraine diplomatic team that testified for 9 hours yesterday and apparently came back and supported the president's case in it. But at the end of it, they came out and said, well, there was this one text message from one person that said, this feels like quid pro quo. But of course, they leave out conveniently the person responding directly back. There's absolutely quid pro quo. And the president wouldn't have that. That's not what this is. It's a much larger issue. And put that to bed immediately. But they only leave out the one text message sitting there. So we'll continue to get the facts. We'll walk through the process. At the end of it, I would hope for cooler heads to prevail to be able to look at facts as facts and not as accusations.
Now, you're on the Senate side. This has to start in the House. And officially, there hasn't been any real start in the House as Mrs. Pelosi has not called for a vote for the impeachment inquiry.
That's correct. An impeachment inquiry is an official vote at the beginning of the process. Nancy Pelosi just said, I'm not going to have a vote. I'm just going to unilaterally declare it and then ask six committees to do this work. Nothing has really changed this week from what they were doing 3 weeks ago or 3 months ago or 10 months ago when the House was committed to trying to find some way to be able to impeach the president. So the focus has really been, if they want to have an impeachment inquiry, they need to actually have a vote and have an official process that actually kicks in official criteria. But I think they're afraid to be able to have that and be able to put people on record where they are, or maybe they know they don't have the votes to actually do it, and so they're short-circuiting it just to say we're going to unilaterally declare it, but not actually put anyone on record as whether they want to do it or not.
Without getting too deep into the weeds, if they don't have this vote, all these things that are going on with these investigations, are they null and void?
No, it's just a continual noise. Again, at the beginning of this year, there were 100 Democratic members of the House that said that they wanted to impeach the president over Russia. Mm-hmm. That has all dropped off now as they've discovered there is no there in the Russia investigation. The Mueller report finalized that. Everything is done. There was no collusion. There was no conspiracy. There was no abuse of power. They cleared every single staff member that worked for the president of abuse of power allegations. So all of this back and forth that they thought they had, they don't have. That all died away, and until it looked like this sudden burst of another 100 people that suddenly exploded out 2 weeks ago now. But now we know that Adam Schiff knew about this information for at least a month in advance and was laying the predicate to try to do a new charge. And then now their focus is not 2.5 years of hearings like it was in Russia. Now what you hear them say is we need to strike while the iron is hot. We need to go as fast as we can. We need to go rapidly through this process and do an impeachment before Thanksgiving, if possible. I mean, so it is rush, 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 rush. Before we get the facts out, before anyone can dispute any of this like they did for Russia, let's impeach first and then actually get the facts out second.
Oh, my. This is terrible.
Something as serious as this and what they're attempting to do at this point requires some facts and information. We settled as a country back in the 1860s when there was an impeachment of the vice president who became president after Abraham Lincoln. We settled during that time period that you don't impeach a president based on you don't like him or don't like his policies. It has to be high crimes and misdemeanors, a very serious offense. And an accusation or I don't like him or I don't like the way he tweets is not the reason to do that. That's why we have elections.
We're talking with Senator Langford, and of course you're on the Senate side, so all this impeachment talk really doesn't have any bearing on what you will do unless, of course, it goes to the Senate for a trial.
That's right. Yeah, the Senate are spectators at this point. We watch what's happening in the House. The House, when they finish their work, whatever they choose to do, then it automatically, if they choose to impeach the president, it automatically comes to the Senate. We shift into a trial mode in the Senate. And the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, John Roberts, actually sits in the Vice President's chair in the Senate and then guides a trial process. But that process itself is not a typical trial like we're used to watching. It's one where you bring facts and information, but ultimately it is still a decision made by each and every senator.
I think a lot of Americans are taking a look at this as that's just a Washington problem at this point. And I think they're a little bit more concerned about the economy and what's in it for the average person. And with trade bills and things like that, it seems like there's been a lot of work done on this new plan with the United States and Canada and Mexico. Is that going anywhere?
Yeah, that is one of the biggest issues that's getting left out. I'm glad you brought that up because in the House right now, the United States-Canada, Mexico-Canada agreement, what is called the USMCA, it's the replacement for the NAFTA agreement, that has been sitting in the House of Representatives for 11 months at this point, unaddressed. We cannot get this trade agreement done, which everyone agrees would pass overwhelmingly if the House put it on the floor. It would certainly pass the Senate and obviously be signed by the President as well. There are enough votes in the House right now to pass the USMCA. But Speaker Pelosi is trying to determine if she wants to give President Trump a win, quote-unquote, so she doesn't want to be able to bring it up. The biggest issue is this is not a win for the president. This is a win for the American people and for our farmers and for our manufacturing to have a stable trade agreement in North America again. It is an improvement to the NAFTA agreement. I think that's been widely recognized as well. But we have got to get this agreement done. But the House has to begin it first constitutionally. Because as a revenue measure, it has to begin in the House. And so we're now waiting into our 11th month, about to approach a full year before the House has even acted on it.
Oh, brother, that's outrageous. And it's outrageous. You, on some good news, you had the pleasure of taking a nice attorney from our great state to Washington, D.C., and introducing her to folks who make decisions.
I did. Jody Dishman is a great attorney in our state, and she has been, we've recommended, Senator Inhofe and I both have recommended her to the White House. The White House did an extensive background and agreed, and that they have then selected her. She's gone through the nomination process already in the Senate, done her initial hearing, she has to get a vote in the committee, and then we'll actually move to the full body. That's another judge for the Western District. The White House just announced another judge yesterday for the Western District, Bernard Jones, who is a current magistrate judge in the Western District. He is eminently qualified, and that is someone else the White House has announced that they want to be able to put on the bench in Oklahoma. And so he will now start through that same process that Jody Dishman is halfway through. Bernard Jones will now start that process as well. But it's very helpful to be able to have all of our districts full and to be able to have a full judicial bench.
Senator Langford, is there anything else you'd like to add this morning?
There's a lot going on around the state, and I'm enjoying getting a chance to visit with folks. But if people want to stay in contact with us or they have specific questions, they want follow-up information, they can always go to my website, langford.senate.gov. It's COV, langford.senate.gov, and they can contact us there. Or you can do any of the social media platforms at Senator Langford.